So I don't know if you've noticed or not, but in the bulletin today, I actually gave you some little blanks to fill in. I usually don't do that. So if you're the kind of person that likes to fill in blanks, I'm not that kind of person, so I usually don't provide that for you, but I know some people may like that. So there are some fill in the blanks there if you want to write in the answers in Chinese or in English. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we do pray now that you would open our eyes that we might behold wonderful things in your word. Incline our hearts now unto your testimonies, away from selfish things. Give us life in your ways. I pray that you would magnify yourself to us today. It needs to be supernatural, God, because I am incapable of conveying clearly who you are in all of your glory. So I ask for help, the help of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So if you have a Bible, you'll be needing it today in various places. I have a lot of verses that are going to be up on the screen. And you'll want to take a look at a lot of those. The verse that we just read will be toward the end, actually, not the beginning. So we've been going for a while through some different teachings of the Reformation. Because it's the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation, or it was October 31st, 1517. Now we're into November, but today's the last message in the series. So we looked at grace alone, and faith alone, and Scripture alone, and Christ alone, and today we get to the final one, which is God's glory alone. Or in Latin, it's soli Deo Gloria. You may have heard that phrase or seen it somewhere on a wall sometimes. Now, God's glory alone implies that something was going on to where God was not getting the glory, or maybe today is not getting the glory he deserves. Excuse me. And we'll talk about that toward the end. Have you ever seen something glorious? Or what's the most glorious thing you have ever seen before? Have you ever seen something unforgettable or remarkable? And when you saw it, you just said, wow, that is absolutely amazing. Maybe it was a Himalayan sunrise. Maybe you went to the Himalayas or the Himalayas sometime and you saw a sunrise. Or maybe you saw Mount Everest or Chomolungma or Sagarmatha, whatever you want to call it. Maybe you've been before to Buckingham Palace or you saw some massive old building somewhere in the world, and you've always wanted to see it. And when you saw it, you said, wow, truly is glorious. Or maybe sometime you've been to Yangshuo, and you went down the Lijiang, and you saw the karst peaks, and you said, wow, it's just glorious. Well, probably lots of us have seen glory, and we know how to describe it, or we know when we see something glorious, but we don't really know how to define it. It's like seeing something beautiful and yet having a difficult time explaining what beauty is. So we know the feeling of glory, but what is the glory of God? We use this phrase all the time in the church. The Bible uses the phrase all over the place, this word glory of God. We sing about it. We read it. The Bible says things like 1 Corinthians 10:31. Oh, did I not have it? Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So we're supposed to do, everything that we do is supposed to be to His glory, but yet we don't know necessarily what it is. So let's define, first of all, what is the glory of God defined? How do we define this thing called God's glory? Well, turn in your Bible to Psalm 96. Psalm 96, I don't think I can give you a good definition of glory just with my words. I have to try to show you in the Bible just exactly what is the glory of God. So Psalm 96, I'm going to read some verses. Got a lot of verses to read, so they'll be on the screen. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Give Him glory, you might say. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare, here's one of those phrases, declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor majesty are before Him, strength, beauty are in His sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord the glory, or glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering, come into His courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for He comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in His faithfulness. So in Psalm 96, Psalm 97, Psalm 98, the Scripture shows us a little glimpse, as well as many other places, what is the glory of God? Notice some of the phrases. You have your Bible, notice some of the phrases or some of the words that are in there to describe God's glory. In verse 3, it mentions His marvelous works. His marvelous works. In verse 4, it speaks of His greatness. In verse 5, it talks about how He made the heavens. Made the heavens, which means the universe, the galaxies, all of them. He made them. That's glory to be able to do that. In verse 6, it uses some words like splendor, majesty, strength, beauty. In verse 10, it says that He's a king. The Lord reigns. So over all of the universe, He reigns. He rules. And anybody who does that would be glorious. His sustaining power, sustaining the earth. The earth is spinning right now, I think 10,000 miles an hour. It's spinning. It's hanging in the middle of the universe by gravity. It's there. He is sustaining everything. Verse 13, it says, well, back in verse 10, it says He is a judge and He is fair. And then it speaks of His righteousness and His faithfulness. This is the character of God. In this verse alone, in this chapter, we see a taste of His glory described in the Bible. He's a creator. He sustains everything. He is great. He's marvelous. He's majestic. He's beautiful. He's robed in splendor and strength. He is good. He is fair. And the whole world is accountable to Him. What is the glory of God? The glory of God, we can say it maybe in a simple way, it is His value and His worth on display. His value and His worth on display for the world and the whole universe to see. So the Hebrew word, kavod, for glory, which it's many, many times in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word literally means heavy. Heavy. And in English, we will say that sometimes. Wow, that was heavy. It means weight. So if you had gold and you were going to measure gold this morning, the more it weighed or the heavier it was would mean it's what? More valuable, right? If something weighs more, it's usually more valuable. So heavy or weighty, it speaks of God's value and His worth. So if you met a person in the room today, if somebody came into this room that was a very important person, we would just kind of stop and go, wow, I'm surprised he's here today. He carries weight, or he is important. So seeing God's glory means we will worship, because we see someone powerful and majestic, and someone's presence requires a response from others. So simply put, we see something valuable, and we say, wow. We see something valuable or wonderful, and we have a response to that. We see glory, go to the Grand Canyon, and it's really big and really great, and we don't go, oh, let me check my messages on my phone. Now you keep your phone in your pocket, and you just look, and you go, wow. You wouldn't go to Mount Everest today. You wouldn't go to one of the peaks beside Mount Everest. You wouldn't go to the top of there, and I hope that you wouldn't, and be preoccupied with something else. You would just, wow. You would give glory in response to glory. You would give praise in response to glory. So that's the glory of God. It is the value and the worth of God on display. Well, it is on display. The glory of God is on display throughout the world. Look at Psalm 19. If you have your Bible, Psalm 19:1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork." So the heavens, the universe, the stars are speaking something. They are speaking of God's majesty, His worth, His value. So when you see the stars in the Milky Way galaxy, if you've ever seen that in a place that's really dark, you're meant to say, wow. But you're not meant to say, wow, the stars are wonderful. We're meant to say, wow, the creator of those is wonderful. Glory. Psalm 19:1. His glory is on display in many ways. They're screaming out. They are yelling, God is great. Look at Isaiah 6. Isaiah chapter 6. You know this story very well. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above Him stood the seraphim. They had six wings. With two they covered their eyes, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory.'" So the Bible says that the whole world is full of the glory of God. It's on display in creation. Creation is meant to point us. Creation is beautiful, but it's a taste of the glory of God to point to something greater, which is God Himself. That's general revelation. We see the glory of God in creation generally. But specifically, we see the glory of God more greater somewhere else. And where is that? Look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 14. John chapter 1, verse 14 is a famous verse, but we usually only talk about the first part of the verse. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We usually stop there, don't we? And we have seen His glory. Glory of as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. If we want to see the glory of God, we see it where? In Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We see the glory of God most profoundly and perfectly in Jesus Christ. In verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. Even if our gospel is veiled, if the good news is hidden, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the god of this world, the devil, has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing. Keep them from seeing what? To keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shown in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Where? In the face of Jesus. So if we want to see the glory of God perfectly, because Jesus is God, the Son, we see the glory of God in Jesus Christ. The glory of God is on display generally in the world that God has created. So a sunset, a mountain, a river, the trees, the flowers, everything you see, that general revelation of God, His glory is on display. It's shouting about Him. But specifically, God has revealed to us the glory of God in Jesus Christ. He came to earth and we saw His glory. The glory of God is defined as the value and worth of who God is. And it's on display throughout the whole world. And the glory of God is to be declared, as we already saw. The glory of God is to be declared. We're supposed to speak of it. Those who see it have a responsibility to give a response to it. Psalm 96, we already saw, declare His glory. Declare His magnificence, His worth, His value among the nations. That's evangelism. What we call evangelism, pure and simple, is telling other people about how great God is. And that includes His salvation in Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 9. We'll read verse 9. But you are a chosen race. Speaking of believers in Jesus. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So that's the same thing as saying declare His glory. Proclaim His excellencies. So if you want to know what is the glory of God, it is the excellencies of God. The nature of who He is, His character, His value, His worth. The excellencies of Him. What is the glory of God? It is His value on display. It's on display in creation generally, and in Jesus Christ specifically and perfectly. And Christians are to declare that to the whole world. It means if you're a Christian, where you live, people around you, people you work with, your friends, your family, and even the people beyond you that you might travel to the ends of the earth, we are to speak of and declare how great God is, His glory. The glory of God is also to be our desire. The glory of God is to be our desire. I mentioned earlier, look at 1 Corinthians 10:31. Finally, there it is. 1 Corinthians 10:31. It would be a great verse for you to meditate on this week. So just take this verse, just this one verse this week, and just marinate in it. Just roll over in it for hours and hours and think about it over and over. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. It means whatever we do, that we should be pointing to someone besides ourselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, just turn a couple pages to the left. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So, glorify God in your body. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Turn over to the next book. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We mentioned this a few weeks ago. We talked about church vision. We talked about what does it mean to behold God. We want to behold God. We want to belong to the body. And we want to be sent. Here it is. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And we all, with an unveiled face, beholding or seeing the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from one degree of glory to another. So as we see God, as we see His glory, it does something to us. As we see God's glory through His Word, Jesus Christ, our Lord, as we see that, even as we look at creation, it should point us to Him. We are being changed into His likeness as long as we're seeing. So what does it really mean? The glory of God. How do we live to the glory of God if it's our desire? That means we live to show God's worth. That means we live to show God's value. So here's a question for you to think about this morning. Am I the point of my life, or is God the point of my life? As a believer in Jesus Christ, we are not the point of our lives. He said, you were bought with a price, you are not your own. So as a believer in Jesus Christ, you realize when we say Jesus is Lord, What that means is I don't have a life anymore to call my own. My life now belongs to Jesus and to the glory of God. So, if you want to know, if you don't hear anything I say about the glory of God, here's what I want to say. If you want to know what it really means, it means this. It's all about God. It's all about God, not me. It's all about God, not me. My job, my marriage, my parenting, my relationships, my hobbies, everything I do, it's about Him for His glory. So what if every area of our lives were about God? Can you imagine? If every area of our life was just about God and His glory, what if the point of everything we did was God? So the glory of God is His value on display, number one. Number two, it is displayed generally in creation, but specifically and perfectly in God the Son, Jesus Christ. Number three, as Christians, we are to declare the glory of God, the value and the worth of God. We are to declare that with our lives and our words. And we should desire, the glory of God is our desire, meaning everything we do should be for His glory. And number five, if you're filling in the blanks, number five, the glory of God is our destination. That may sound strange to say. The glory of God is our destination. Now, I want you to turn to the book of Ezekiel. You might want to look in the table of contents to find exactly where that is. The book of Ezekiel. It's right before the book of Daniel, and it's right after Lamentations. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1. That's on page 772 in my Bible. Let me read this for you. Now, understand, Ezekiel has seen the glory of God. And this is not just a description. This is reality for him and reality for us today, that this is real. So he's having this vision. He says, over the heads of these living creatures, there was the likeness of an expanse, shining like all-inspiring crystal, spread out above their heads. And under the expanse, their wings were stretched out straight one to another, toward another. And each creature had two wings covering his body. And when they went, I heard the sound of their wings, like the sound of many waters, like the sound of the Almighty, a sound of tumult, like the sound of an army. So these creatures, when they flap their wings, it sounds like an army. And when they stood still, they let down their wings. And there came a voice from above the expanse over their heads. When they stood still, they let down their wings. Now, picture this in your mind. And above the expanse over their heads was the likeness of a throne, and in appearance like sapphire. And seated above the likeness of a throne was a likeness with a human appearance. Not a human, but the likeness of a human appearance. And upward from what had the appearance of his waist, I saw as it were gleaming metal, like the appearance of fire enclosed all around. And downward from what had the appearance of his waist, I saw as it were the appearance of fire. And there was brightness all around him, like the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud, the rainbow that is in the cloud on the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness all around him. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face. And that was the right response for Ezekiel. When he saw that much glory, to fall on his face. That is a vision of God in the throne room. Now turn to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Verse 22. And I saw no temple in the city, speaking of the heavenly Jerusalem, the new heaven. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light... Yeah, let's go down to chapter 22, verses 3 and 5. No longer will there be anything accursed, Revelation 22, 3, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and His servants will worship Him. Verse 4, they will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more, and they will need no light or lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. So why do I say that the glory of God is our destination? Because the reality is that we see glory a little bit here. But one day, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you will see His glory face to face. So much glory, so much brightness, so much power and beauty emanating from this being who is so different from us, who is holy, that there's no need for light. The light comes from Him. He gives off His own luminescence. And that is our future. We will see Him in all of His splendor. And it will never, ever lose its luster. The world promises glory all over the place. But it fades. It fades away. I don't know if you've ever seen these apartment complexes, when they build these apartment complexes. They build these really magnificent apartment complexes in various places, and it'll promise glory. You'll buy it, you'll live here, you'll be cool, it'll have a swimming pool, and it costs a lot of money, and you can resell it someday. It promises glory. And in 3 years, 5 years, its luster and its splendor is gone. But think about the fact that in heaven someday we will enjoy His glory, His magnificence, and it will never, ever get old. Everything gets old. That's why we can't put our hope in anything in this world, because it promises glory and it won't last. Only God lasts, and those who believe in Him. So, why God's glory alone? Why this message from the Reformation? Why did the Reformation have a doctrine of God's glory alone? Why soli Deo Gloria? Because 500 years ago and today, people give glory to lots of other things besides God. So 500 years ago, Even today, it would be statues. Give glory to a little statue, or give glory to a religious relic. Maybe this is the real nail that came from the cross of Jesus, and we need to, if we touch it, maybe it will give us some magical power. Or maybe some religious leader. Maybe even today, some religious leader, we might give them glory because they have such an impact on our life. Or maybe even Jesus' mother. We give her glory. No one deserves glory but God alone. Soli Deo Gloria. And why should we live for God's glory alone? Because no one else deserves the glory. So, question is a good question to ask ourselves. Are we living for God's glory? Are we living to show the value and worth of who He is? Or are we living to show the value and worth of who we are? Because life can become so many times about us trying to prove ourselves to other people. We have nothing to prove. We prove Jesus Christ. We are not the point of our lives. God is the point of our lives. If we claim to be a believer, He is the point of our lives forever and ever. I want to close with the verse that we started with, the scripture reading, Romans 11. Romans 11, starting in verse 33, and we will close there. Listen to Paul. He's spontaneously shouting out in praise. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments, and how inscrutable His ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been His counselor? Who's ever given to Him that He might be repaid? For from Him, and through Him, and to Him, are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, we would, I know I would be a liar if I didn't confess that my life is about me in so many ways. So I pray that You would, by Your grace, You would cause myself and everyone in here that we would die to self and live unto You. That we would consider ourselves dead. We would consider it that we are dead. But we are alive in Jesus Christ. And our life is now hidden with God in Christ Jesus. So Lord, would You empower us that we would glorify You. That as a church, corporately, that our church would point to You and Your glory in everything that we do. That we would make You look great, though You're great and You don't need us to make You look that way. But we would make You look great to those around us. That whether we eat or drink or work or play, travel, whatever we do, we would do it to show the surpassing value and worth of who You are. Because we know that it is true. So Lord, glorify Thy name in all the earth. Let Your glory be over all the earth. Even so, come Lord Jesus. It's in your name that we pray, Jesus. Amen.